Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Em, you know you're my favorite white boy, right? I owe you for this one.
I did some charity today for the kids, but it wasn't charity. I saw it with clarity, the severity of the matter is I'm in a game of your sports analyst, blowing smoke up your tails and calling it cannabis. Wanna talk about a ghostwriter? When a ghostwriter up, I'ma have all ears flaming like ghostwriter. I talk about the money cause I made it. Can't play with me, my character locked, I'm shaded. When you're invisible, it's kinda difficult to hit my radar. You should call me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The way I tower over these boys, I got them hooked. When I mob deep, they shook. Shows they never booked, but they steady reading into the media. Throwing idle threats, empty as they Wikipedia. Sometimes I gotta laugh at these jokers. You killing me, need to quit cigarette smokers. I can beat you.
What's going on, Rick?
Ain't nothing. You know, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, week's going by.
Hump day.
Yeah, definitely.
And it came by fast.
Honestly, I'm looking at it. I'm just like, as soon as we know it, it's going to be January. It's going to be over. We're going to be like, what the hell just happened?
I know. It's like you're going to look up and it's going to be Christmas again. Shopping
exactly.
All over again and putting up Christmas trees.
Yep.
I still smell like pine.
Yeah, exactly. See, because I don't know how you do it. I can't do the pine. Give me a fake one. I'm all set. Give me a fake one. I'll take the pine, whatever. They got some freshener or something and spray this.
You know what? If I was locked in my room, I could really tell you about this, but on grounds I might incriminate myself. Hey, I love Christmas. How about the best thing about it is I think football.
Including, you know, last Sunday, we talked about the battle for the NFC North, actually. You had the Vikings versus the Packers. And we were saying if we were the Vikings, we would just say, you know what, let's just, you know, lose this game and chalk it up and go back to Lambeau next week. But they fought and they won the game.
Yeah, they didn't listen to me.
You know, they fought, they won, and now they got Seattle coming. But it seems, I think it's going to be, they saying that the temperature is saying zero, and they saying it's going to feel like with the wind chill, it's going to feel like negative 20 out there.
Right.
So that game ain't looking too promising as, you know, for players.
Exactly.
They're going to have to be in there bundled up.
And I, again, I don't know what they were thinking about. I'm like, whew. But Lambeau wouldn't have been any different.
No, you know, Lambeau wouldn't have been any different. I think from a confidence factor, you know, them winning the division, them being them being a young team on the rise. Teddy Bridgewater, the second year, they have a young. I think that they accomplished, and they went far beyond a lot of people's expectations. They didn't think, you know, this year they were going to compete, you know, maybe sneak in for a wild card, but competing and winning the division, they definitely stepped up. So, I mean, I think everything right now is gravy. I don't think that any of us look at them and say, oh, they're a contender. But I thought that if they played the Packers again, I think they would have, you know, maybe made it to the second round or something, because I just look at this Packers team, I don't just think that they're, you know, that great. You know, later on, we'll get into our picks as far as in the weekend, but, yeah, I'm not feeling too fond of the Packers right now.
No, nobody is. I mean, they haven't looked good, I mean, period, and I don't know what it is.
Jody Nelson.
Okay,
I think that we discounted Jody Nelson we didn't respect how great Joey Nelson was. And also, too, those I was talking to someone during the week, you look at Joey Nelson, I think that he came, his rookie year, I would say that he came, that was Aaron Rodgers' first year starting. You know, so Jordy coming in, you got Jordy, so that's all Aaron has known. And you take away one of his favorite target, and now you see what happened. And just like we were saying when he got hurt before, when we were talking about it in the preseason, we were saying that now this shifts over to, you know, Randall Cobb is the number one, now this person is number one. And now everyone's expectations have gone, you know, your work, you know, has gotten larger because you take away that number one receiver. And you should know that firsthand with the Cowboys. When you took Dez out of the offense, it looks different because now, you know, everyone else is elevated. And then maybe some people can't elevate to that certain role.
Right, you know, right. And it does make a total difference because no matter what, when you look at it, Jordy Nelson, it's a cushion. You know, all else fails, you get in trouble. I mean, how many times, you know, I can't count offhand, but you know how many times, even from a confidence factor, I can 9 times out of 10, I can throw it up to Jordy Nelson. Either he's going to catch it or he's going to make sure they don't catch it.
Exactly.
You know, and about 75% of the time, he catches it and he bails him out, you know.
Exactly.
Not taking anything away from Aaron Rodgers, but definitely missing Jordy Nelson, especially not even in the beginning of the season because you got all your strength, but going down the stretch.
Yeah.
You need all your players key. And the big thing with Green Bay hasn't looked good either because their running back has looked like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like he stepped off the Shaq O'Neal training, pre-training camp. What? I mean, this.
Exactly. There you go. That team first. I remember I asked you in training camp, I was like, yo, is he a defensive tackle? Is that
right?
Like, I mean, you looked at him and you were just like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to, you know, what happened to Eddie Lacy? And like you said, I think that's what happened. That's what really also too is because like when I said everybody had the expectations and their workload went up, it was more so too. It was a running game. Y'all gotta step up even more now because it's because of this guy. Now you look at somebody like, you know, Eddie Lacy. You know, you have to morph into that top three running back. Because now you don't want to, you can't really pass as much. And now you look at it, that offensive line just been terrible. I think he got, Aaron Rodgers got sacked the most sacked quarterback in football.
I mean, if you got those numbers and that's, he's been sacked, I know as far as me, more than I've ever seen him sacked before.
And you know
what game I wish I had seen him sacked more? Like this year, it was last year in the playoffs, and it didn't happen. And I was like, why can't you get to this guy? I think he's playing with a hurt leg or whatever, and they didn't get from last year. But this year, he's supposed to be healthy, and they're getting to him.
Yeah. You know, that's literally that, you know, that ties, you know, we have, then also you have Black Monday. You know, folks, even though Black Monday is usually the Monday right after week 17, the last game of the year, and that's usually when the coaches get let go of their duties and, you know, whatnot. You've seen, of course, you know, Cleveland. You know, happened to Cleveland. San Francisco. But there was, it was kind of curious that I always thought for sure the Colts were going to let, Chuck McConnell go. And he ended up staying. They ended up signing him to an extension. And then also, they kept the GM. And from what people have been saying all season is that they've been butting heads and they can't coexist with each other. And they signed, okay, they keep both of them.
Yeah, I didn't understand that one. One of them needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or if not... Not really both of them. I think the head coach is pretty much, to me, okay. But that GM needs to go.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, let me just say, Johnny Manziel still being on the team.
Well, nah, but it's the Colts, not the Browns.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other camp. Right. But anyway, with dealing with the Colts, I just think that change needs to go on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The coach is fine because they all respect the coach. They all sparked under him. What was it, last year, the year before last, when he had that issue and that sickness, and he had to go off some games.
Yeah, he had cancer.
So,
right.
Yeah. So I mean, he's earned that respect from them. So it's easier for him to control. And that's a lot of things that from the head coaches controlling that locker room. You have all your other co-coaches that break up into linebacker coach, this coach, to teach them their skills and everything. But if you can control them all together, coercively in a group, that's more than half your battle. So he's fine, but somebody else needs to go because the team is not looking good right now as collectively as a team, if that makes sense.
No, it is. But also, too, though, is I hate the, oh, he owed this pass or this, or he didn't, oh, luck was hurt or this and that. At the end of the day, the coaches last year went to them and said, went to the GM, went to the front office and said, we need to protect this quarterback. He's a franchise. We have to protect him.
Right.
You know, they didn't listen to him. He said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go sign an old Frank Gore. I'm going to sign an old Andre Johnson. I'm going to draft another wide receiver in the first round when there's a young defensive tackle and you guys are getting run on. That's a formula to beat y'all. Just run down your throat because you're soft. You're small on that side of the ball. You got a nice defensive tackle that's right there waiting for you to pick him, and you bypass him and draft another wide receiver.
Well, the thing about the coach, excuse me, and sometimes I think when you're dealing with some teams, it's identity that they take on for so many years, and they thought they could do the same thing with Johnny Manziel that they did with Peyton Manning, and that's why, to me, Peyton only won one championship because
mm-hmm.
their defense has always been soft.
Yeah.
You know, even the year that they won the Super Bowl, they just clicked at that right time.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
they were still soft. It was still the weakest in the NFL, and I think that's just what they want their culture to be. It's got this great quarterback. He's going to lead us through anything, get this mediocre defense, but that's not it. And especially during the times now, you have some stud defenses. You just do.
Yeah, no, I mean, to compete, like, I mean, sir, if you want to be known as a real contender, like I told you, for like that losing 45-7 in the AFC Championship, was that more saying that, okay, we made it to the AFC Championship, or saying, well, damn, we got a long way to go as far as in really being competing because
we already know the answer. You already know the answer. They're going to hang a banner. and again, just the other day, I think I told you, I have a big Steelers fan. She calls me on the phone. And again, it depends on what type of person you're dealing with. I could care less about making the playoffs if I really don't have a chance to do anything. Okay, say you make it because systematically you win a wild card, or it's like the NFC East was so whack. You know, you win in the division, but your team is not healthy. And like, it's four other teams in the NFC that's just really, really good that you can't compete with. What's making it to the playoffs going to do? Just delay the inevitable. Just so you as a fan can say, at least we made the playoffs. No, 3 years ago, tell me who made the playoffs. Who cares? But I can tell you who won the Super Bowl. You know? That's all that's important. So, when you start getting into that, we just got to make the playoffs. Even if Andy Dalton never got a playoff win, to me that's irrelevant. Because if he wasn't going to win the Super Bowl, who cares?
No, definitely. And, I mean, that situation, when it was just odd, They signed Nicole. I mean, you thought that, if anything, you thought Vogel was going to be gone. But I think that he looked at a predicament, and he saw that, just like you said, Chris, the players love the coach. And I think there was a strong I think that Andrew Luck probably, you know, gave his word, and he probably took it and said, wow, you know, Andrew Luck wants him. You know, he still wants him, so I got to keep him. But then also, too, though, I think that he looked at a situation. If you bring in a new GM, he knows that's not his guy. So he's not even operating with, you know, his full capability, because he's like, I don't have the guy I want coaching here. I have to, you know, this coach is probably already handpicked for me. So, I mean, I understand that situation as well. So I guess they probably looked at it and said, we got to work two and two together. But I think that the GM is probably more on the short leash than the coaches.
Yeah.
I think the GM, because his questionable. And I also do, I think that they need to, you know, put somebody else in there, another head in there to help him out. Because, like I said, for me and you could have picked Andrew Luck. Me and you would have picked
him. I mean, and that was a no-brainer. And, I know you know, go on record, people really think I give Andrew Luck a hard time. No, I think I would have picked Andrew Luck, but I would have built better pieces around him.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's more so about building a better defense and also protecting the franchise. He shouldn't be getting beat up. And, like, a lot of people look at sacks. But, no, but what about that pressure? What about that hit that he took? That's, you know, that's something else. You want your quarterback to have a clean pocket, you know, hold that, you know, that's an objective. So you want to go out there and protect him. And that's, you know, that should be the ultimate objective, is to protect the franchise. You drafted him number one, treat him like the number one pick. Also, you know, then all, I mean, by that, and then also we kind of alluded to it, because you heard the Giants. I think Todd Coughlin's grandkids was at the game, and his family was at the game. So it seemed though it was like a farewell type of game. The last game that he played in, they played against the Eagles, and he resigned. He resigned on Monday. But what's curious though to me for today, he had a press conference. He had a press conference yesterday, and I don't think that he shook the owner's hand. He just walked by him.
So you think it's kind of like, either you retire or we're going to retire you?
Yeah. I think it was more so, you resign or we're going to fire you. How you want it to look.
Right.
I think that's what it was. I think that's really what it was. It was more so like you're gonna resign, or you know we're gonna you know fire you. And I think that he didn't want to get fired, and I think he still wants to coach, but I'm not sure where. But you look at that Giants job, and it's like one of the premier jobs as far as in, you know, sports. It's in New York. I mean, you have a quarterback, so it's definitely going to have, you know, a lot of coaches. I mean, if the Giants come, they ask you, you going to go, you know, sit down for an interview and talk with them. But it's curious. I'm curious to know who they replace them with.
That's what I want to know. And that's what I was saying to all the Giants fans that want Coughlin's head. It's like, okay, I get you. Maybe two rings in 8 years is not good enough. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are some teams that's never made the Super Bowl or played 4 years in a row, Buffalo, and then win
one. There's some teams that haven't made the playoffs in a decade.
Right. So I'm looking at them like, but who are you going to get? Because it's not like great head coaches floating around. And the people you want is not coming out. And again, it's not saying you won't land a stud like an example like Golden State ended up with Kirk. It's not to say that, but their team nucleus was already there. He just had to make a couple of pinks and panks to get that lineup and get that attitude going on. And so, but you have a bonfire in New York right now, and Golden State is easy to manage because the pressure is not as much as New York is. Then New York will bury you. New York, Boston, Dallas, those Chicago, Philly, those will bury you alive.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So who are you going to bring in?
That's a definitely honest and, you know, truthful question that you ask is, I mean, who are you going to, you know, in that predicament, who are you going to bring in? And also, sometimes, though, for instance, the grass ain't always greener. You look at sometimes you say, oh, okay, yeah, we'll bring on, get rid of all Tottenham. And then you look, you're like, oh, I missed Tom Coughlin. And what's kind of true about this team, though, is that this team, what's funny, though, is that this team needs a Tom Coughlin type of head coach. They need somebody to come in, you know, kind of like a, you know, veteran, like disciplinarian. But also, too, though, is that he needs to get help from the GM and get some good players, because that defense that used to be vaunted defense now has holes in it. It's not as great as it was before. They don't have the same type of talent or, you know, the players that they had when they had Strahan, you know, Justin Tuck, you know, Umiora, and Antonio Pierce, and players like that. They don't have those type of players anymore.
Right. And then still moving forward, you said the biggest thing. They need a Tom Coughlin. So what are you you out there looking for a younger Tom Coughlin? That's the only thing that's going to work in that system, is that his type of attitude. I mean, the things that people said about him, these volumes of it, and at the end of the day, it's a move that New York wanted to make to stir it up. I get it. But at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you got to bite the bullet on the season that you had and stop thinking that all the time. You know, it was a combination. Yeah, him and, you know, Eli messed up a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, but it definitely wasn't on counseling.
No,
I mean,
it wasn't for them. And I just think that you look at it and we'll see. And it's going to be interesting on who is going to be the next guy that they hire. Who's going to be to replace him. And we'll see as far as in the, you know, the situation, because it's kind of just like, all right, you got rid of him now. Now you have to replace him. And is this guy better than what you had? And I don't think that Coughlin has much. I mean, he's 79. I don't think that he's, you know, going to be around, you know, the coach, you know, more than 3 years.
Right.
I thought that maybe you kept him, and it's not like this team is that far away in that division. Because it seems
right.
Like that 8-8, you know, sometimes 9-7. Look at this year, 9-7 wins a division. So
right.
It's not like
and
he's
really,
that far
really
away.
Really, they lost like 6 games in the last 2 minutes. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
like that won't happen again next year. It's just the odds of that happening again is just like tremendous. It's just not going to happen.
No, definitely. And so it's definitely, you know, a team definitely going to keep you guys up there, you know. Also, we have the Browns. Pretty. If I told you the last 5 head coaches that got fired in the AFC North, they were all by the Cleveland Browns. They were all by the Cleveland Browns. What a pathetic franchise that is. And what a franchise that they would come calling and I would scream, hell no, don't call my phone. No. Would you want to work for the Browns? Hell no. I don't want to work for you guys. No. Leave me alone. Delete my number.
Right. And I wouldn't even answer the call. I'll tell my agent, don't take the call. I'm not interested. You don't even got to give me the message. Because I don't want it, you know. And dude, I really don't understand where they're going.
No. And I mean, I'm just gonna, allude off to something else. You hear the reports now, and hopefully they just cut ties. You hear the reports of, you know, Johnny Manziel, you know, he's in Vegas, and he's with a wig on. He has a wig, telling people his name is Billy. He doesn't show up. He's supposed to show up 9 a.m. to,
concussion protocol.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, are you serious? What kind of nonsense is this? And then you hear the legends of the story of the homeless man told the owner, you better go take that Johnny football, and he takes him. And people told him not to. They didn't want to listen. I think they wanted the name, but they got too much of the baggage that came with it. And you see now what happened. You took him over somebody like, you took Johnny Manziel over players like Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater. You know, two of, you know, your up and coming quarterbacks in this league, especially at a position where talent is really there at, and if you don't have it, you can't succeed. They went after the sexy name, and look where it got them. You know, and now you're going to find Johnny. Johnny Manziel is going to be backing up Tony Romo next season.
No, he's not.
Or you're going to be on Jerry Jones' tour bus.
Yeah, no, he's not. You know, Jerry Jones is like, you know, at the end of the day, I'll make that money. Y'all don't know how to market him. I'm marking him. you know, the same thing you did with T.O. He's like, you know, all publicity is not bad publicity.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just, but T.O. came to play, though. He came to ball. You know, T.O. came, you know, he put the helmet on and he went to work on Sundays. Whereas those that you got somebody that's just not producing and I remember the crowd of people talking about Johnny Manziel. It's like, oh, he's a kid, or oh, let him live his life, or this and that. But it comes to a predicament where it's like you're a quarterback. Your life is different from everyone else's, and the question is, are you fully committed to it? Because these jobs, not 9 to 5. It's not 9 to 5.
Okay, let's go back. In 1999, 2000, he had Chris Palmer, head coach.
Yeah.
His overall record, he coached 32 games, record 5-27. Butch Davis came for 3 years. He had 24-34 record. And then coach.
Hold on, Frank. Butch Davis, I want to say Butch Davis got them to a playoff game.
One playoff game.
Yeah.
Davis got him to a playoff game and they lost. Okay. Bill Belichick got him to 2 playoff games, but I didn't count when he coached him.
This is when we're talking about the new Browns that came in.
Right.
2004.
Right. 2000. So after that, Romeo Cornell, 24-40. Eric Mangini, 10-22. Pat
wow.
Shermer, 9-23. Rob Chudzinski, 4-12. Mike Pettine, 10-22.
Mm.
Now, from 2009, from Romeo Cornell, once Eric Mangini took over, 2 years, 1 year, 2 years.
Wow.
That's not like, I would never sign to that.
Friends, they've had 6 general managers in 8 seasons. 6 general managers. How do you go through that many general managers? What is the problem there? And then you hear the news the other day is that they signed one of the guys, the Moneyball guys from baseball, to be their, you know, their vice president. So now he's their vice president of money. He's going to bring the analytics. He's going to bring analytics to football. And I think that right now they look at it and say, you know what? We'll just try anything. And we'll throw every we'll throw everything to the against the board and see whatever sticks. Because honestly, I look at it now, and I don't think that their situation is, you know, gonna get any better. So they might as well try anything. They might as well just try it. You know, they're in a position to try anything right now. So why not?
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, I think they should move Cleveland up to Atlanta. I mean, to L.A.
You really?
I think that's the only thing that helped that organization.
I think their fan base begs to differ. I think also it was like football-wise and things like that. And I think that teams like speaking of L.A., you know, teams like the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Rams all have problems within their cities. Mm-hmm. I think he just wants to go to L.A. I don't think his intention was ever to be in St. Louis. I think he wants to, you know, the draw of L.A. But honestly, I don't get the draw of L.A., though. Mm-hmm. It's because when you look at L.A. team, you don't see, like, the passion of teams that you see from other places.
You don't
see, as far as the fans in the stadium and, you know, and stuff like that, I don't see the, you know, the Oakland. Oakland felt more, you know, like it's their team because it's in Oakland. The same goes for, you know, San Diego, and the same thing goes for St. Louis. So, I mean, I don't know what is the big draw. Maybe it's just money. Maybe it's a bigger market. Of course, that too. But I don't know, like, you know, but there's definitely going to be a couple of teams that's going to be in L.A.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple of teams in L.A. And it's not a bad thing. It's definitely a good good draw. And it's good for football.
Yeah.
It really is. But the interest, Sean Payton stays in New Orleans or is staying in New Orleans.
Yes.
I don't know what's up with that.
I think that they looked more so at Payton and they said, you know what? No one's gonna reach our insane demand. So I think they were asking for a second round draft pick. You know, and I think that people looked at them and said, y'all are stupid. Get out of my face with that nonsense. And I don't think no one wants to sit there and they want to, you know, give them that second round draft pick or
anything. Anything at this point.
No, not at all. And I think that also, too, though, that I think he has baggage that comes with him. And also, too, it seems that he's been more leaning on the offensive side instead of, you know, and you know, his defensive teams have been struggling. You know,
defense is awful. I mean, their defense is like, it's unexplainable.
No, it's terrible. You know, it's terrible. I mean, you should know firsthand, you know, as far as Rob Ryan, you know, led defenses and things.
I've been wanting that loser to get up out of here. And again, this is the one thing I typically just get disgusted about, especially when you're supposed to be this top defensive coordinator. I hate it when you have a young quarterback coming in for his first start and he's a backup. He's not even a rookie quarterback drafted high. And I get it. You don't know how to see him because you haven't seen him on film. But you get a rookie quarterback coming in first game start because your quarterback got hurt the week before, and you let him light you up.
Mm-hmm.
Colt McCoy did that to the Cowboys under the tutelage of Rob Ryan. And I said, you have to go. You just have to go. You can't tell me you didn't have work on schemes or anything just to make him feel uncomfortable. And that's and let's be real, 8 times out of 10, that's all you have to do to some of those second string, third string quarterbacks coming in first quarter and a half. You know, blitz him from all different stunts and angles of blitzing and make him feel uncomfortable where he's ready to throw the ball before anything develops. And they just did not do that. And he picked him apart. He had one of his best games. And from then I was like, I don't think he's – I just didn't like him.
No, definitely. You know, and that's – yeah, and like I said, you look at – you know, you look at someone like, you know, like Sean Payton, and I think that they looked at a predicament also. Is you look at a lot of teams, a lot of coaches out there in football, and you're just like, who do we sign? You know, who's going to come and replace, who's going to replace Sean Payton? And I think that they looked at it, and maybe they pressed the reset button as far as in the quarterback position, because I don't see Drew Weasley playing there at that ridiculous amount of money that he's going to be making.
But, all right.
You know,
okay.
You know, it's definitely that we, you know, we're gonna definitely have to monitor. But there was something else. You know, for today was they released the Hall of Fame. They released the Hall of Fame today. You know,
yeah.
Baseball Hall of Fame.
Kudos to my boy Ken Griffey.
Ken Griffey. Starting. And, okay, I have a problem. This is the only problem that I have first. Is who was the three idiots that didn't vote for him?
Well, understand. The way I kind of heard it today was they only get 10 or 15 votes, and so they want to probably give somebody else a chance that because they knew Ken Griffey was going to get in. He broke all the records, so I guess that just doesn't sound good enough, huh?
No, come on, man. Like, if there was somebody that was going to get, like, unanimous votes, it had to be him. And he didn't get it. And, I mean, okay, once you said that to me, friends, okay, you know, maybe that makes sense. Maybe that makes sense as far as someone this way, another way, saying, okay, I want to get there. I want to see if I can push my vote towards this guy, see if he can get enough so he can get in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you looked at it, I'm like, damn, I look at it now, I'm like, damn, I'm getting old because it's him and Piazza. And you're just like, wow, they were just playing not too long ago.
I know, I'm looking at Mike Piazza, I was like, he was just playing.
Yeah, so you look at it, you know, you see it, and Ken Griffey, I'm glad that he was a player that escaped those steroid allegations. He escaped the steroid allegations, and he went and skated with it, because in that era that he was dominating it with a long ball, he was actually playing, you know, he's playing the game pure, unlike a lot of his counterparts. I mean, I don't think it was that much of a big deal, but I'm glad that something like the steroid era didn't hurt his case as far as getting into the Hall of Fame.
But right.
He's definitely one of my favorite players of all time. I absolutely enjoy
I enjoy watching him. I mean, I would have enjoyed watching him on steroids, too. Don't get me wrong. I think I was very good Ben. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no,
think how much longer his career would have been.
Yeah. Another thing, we just seen there was a graphic that was posted the other day. I know we mentioned it before, but the Warriors are off to the best start in what, like 30, you know, in the 35 games.
Yo, did you see that game last night? I don't care what nobody say. That game was close with the Lakers. Did you see it?
Nah.
Rick, I swear, it was like, I think it was like 2-2 in the first quarter.
Jesus. 2-2 in the first quarter, come on, friend.
Right. Yeah, that was close. And from there, it was a close game.
Yeah, no, definitely, your friend. I mean, okay, when you look at, Golden State, they're on
uh-huh.
They 33-2.
Right.
One of their losses, I think Curry was out. and you know, and this is what's going to happen. This is why I'm saying that Bulls record was so hard because the attrition throughout the season, and it's bringing your A game every single game. It's bringing it every single game with that bullseye on your back, with being a defending champion. And also, you have to make sure that you're healthy. And I don't think everyone's going to play a whole game. But there's one player on that team that has opened my eyes a lot, and that's Draymond Green.
I talked about Draymond last year.
We said that he's the engine. He's the engine of that team. We were saying that, but now he's putting up monster numbers. He's like, you know, he'll drop, you know, 21 points, get 17 rebounds, and then get 14 assists. And you're just like, whoa. And it seems though that he's the type of player that you want. Because he's not satisfied because he's going to keep getting better. He's going to keep getting better. And I think that, you know, that team, you know, they got something special going in. They could definitely have, like, a, you know, 3 to 5 year run. Let's talk about pure dominance on the league because they all are just, you know, on the peak of reaching their prime. So they're only going to get better.
Right. I agree with you. And I don't – they're on point to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they only will get better. We'll see 35 – I mean, they have the best, you know, record is after 35 games. You know, them being,
they're stupendous. I mean, let's just be real. And I just want to give them credit to where credit is due. I mean, no team has ever done that. And so no team has ever done that. And people just don't want to give it. I don't know what they still think they're missing. I mean, people are still saying, it's not too – maybe this is going to happen. They're doing this with Luke Longley as coach.
Yeah.
Just joking. Luke Walton as head coach. But, I mean, look at what they're doing. Technically, mm-hmm. they don't even got their head coach, and they're doing this.
And that's the...
You can't drive.
and that's definitely, you know, the question is that they may pick up another level when they do actually get Kerr back. So that's definitely going to be something that we will, see. But I have a question. You know, with you being, you know, so close to the Laker, you know, you being a Laker guy, the Lakers GM Mitch Kupchak saying that the team. How do you feel? Like, okay, the forecast of the team. His comments was more so, this season is more about celebrating Kobe rather than developing the players.
No, I mean, he was an idiot. But it could be about both. And you shouldn't even said that. You know, you should have just left it alone. But it should be about both. You should take the time to celebrate Kobe, but you should take the time definitely to develop your brand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're totally forgetting. You know, mm-hmm. and you can do both. And can have fun doing both because and make an excuse. This is a lot to get your fans off your back. You know, this celebration, this Kobe thing, was so much to get the fans and all the hagglers. I mean, think about it. You know, everybody's willing to wash this season up and basically give you an explanation why you're not good.
Yeah, definitely. You look at that team, and it's just like, yes, you got off the hook because now everyone is taking, not the fact that you guys have a terrible team, they're taking to the fact that, okay, this is Kobe, let's relish this moment, this is Kobe, Kobe's not playing anymore, let's be happy for Kobe. Whereas, like, it's the other way around where you guys, you know, should be developing that talent because, okay, once Kobe leaves, then what? What happens after that? What's the next shoe to drop? What's going to happen once, you know, Kobe leaves and then it's going to be back to being a terrible team? So I think that you should balance both. But I don't
even
think
for Kobe, even if you're going to stay in that franchise and do something for the team, you know, you want to make sure you're developing the people.
And what you want, what you okay, it looks like it. This year, you know, it's almost halfway through the season. You know, as crazy as it may sound, you know, basketball season's going to be halfway through. And now we look at it and it's like, wow, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, is it Kobe? You know, is it Kobe, you know, here? He's not going to be here anymore. And it's like, what do we have after him? And I think that there should be more of a pressure to develop players more because those players are going to help you win in the future. They're going to help you win.
But honestly, I think that's what his – I think that's what kind of Kobe's mindset a little bit is. Even like you told Clarkson, I think, last week, when I thought it was funny. He said, stop playing like – what did he tell him? Stop playing like a light-skinned dude. So I mean, you want to take the time and relish the moment, but that's Kobe's job. That's Kobe's responsibility. You as GM, your job never stops. You know, you had the choice. You have the chance. I mean, once you plan something, get together and start planning something big for the last game of the season for Kobe. That's all you should be doing. But this year, you should be looking at how you can plug your team in and possibly get another young superstar to want to come over to your franchise that everybody ran away from.
Definitely. And that's something to that's something definitely to consider. I just think that they need to. I think if it had to be one or the other. I mean, like I said, Kobe is a once in a generation type of player. And this is last year. You definitely want to, you know, celebrate it. And it goes back and forth. I mean, I think that there should be a healthy balance between the two. And, I mean, we'll see going forward. I mean, it's still, the season's still not over. But I think that they need to tend to the younger players because that is the future. But, Frizz, we talked about last Sunday, 2 weeks ago, when I asked you about football being on New Year's Eve. You know, you had the two college football games, basically their final four games, the semifinal game. You know, so it's the final four, and you put it on New Year's Eve. What idiot told you to do that? You know, what idiot said, okay, let's put it on New Year's Eve? Now, they had a 40% drop, you know, as far as in viewership from the year before. It went down. It went down, and it didn't make any sense.
You know what? We talked about that, And I did not understand why they did it. And I don't know if the college is trying to act like they're the NFL and they can just do what they want to do. But, you know, that's the way I thought about it. It was like, you know, F it. You know, when we put it on, they're going to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you got too many people either from, and I'm in the Bible Belt, so you got religious people here. They're going to church on Wash Night.
Yeah.
Or they call it Wash Night on New Year's Eve. Or everybody else, they're going out.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
You're looking at turning up or praying the new year, and you're really not. You'll catch the finals the next time, and that's what I think really people were looking at. You know, I don't think people were looking at, you know, the playoffs, which was crazy.
You looked at the situation and you said, all right, you look at the predicament and said, okay, this is what we got. We have this team, we have this Final Four, and it's like, all right, if you don't have ties, if you didn't go to the school, you're not a fan of that school, I think, frankly, you didn't care.
Right.
I don't think that you didn't have much, you know, to watch for it. And I don't know, I just look at this, and it was just weird, just the whole dynamic as far as it just with ESPN. I don't know if you had a I think you had the Fiesta Bowl or the Sugar Bowl on the next day at 1 o'clock. You had it on at 1 o'clock, and I think that
that was
the cockiness. The cockiness got to him, saying, just like you said, Chris, we think we're the NFL, so we can do what we want, and people's going to watch it. Just like you said, Chris, people go to church. People are worried about what they're going to do that night, getting ready, getting prepared. They have to work. They just get off to work. They go and, you know, get there. You know, up here, it's a big tradition as far as they go and grab some Chinese food.
And that places
a zoo on, you know, New Year's Eve. So you already grab, you try to go get that, and you worry about that. And it's all this, is that. And then, as soon as you know it, you know, and you're not worried about the game. You may follow it through your phone or your social networks and things like that, but for the most part, you're not really worried about, you know, the college game if you're not a big fan of that school, you know, that particular school.
Right.
But friends, big shoot on the drop today. Calvin Johnson is mulling retirement. And you wonder, like, is he really mulling retirement, or is he looking at it saying, I want to get the hell out of Detroit and I'll do anything to get the hell out of here?
To me, if he retires, I think there's something wrong with the water in Detroit. Because you have somebody like Barry Sanders to do the same thing.
Yep.
And now Calvin Johnson, which can go down, which is in the right system, could have been, you know, could have possibly been second to Jerry Rice, how he started his career off.
First you talk about somebody that they said, I think that he can be better than Randy Ross. You know, so I totally understand that. I totally buy that.
Yeah, and let's be real. If Barry Sanders were to continue playing, we would be easily talking about him being the all-time NFL rushing leader.
Oh, come on, Fred. He would have obliterated that. You know, he would have obliterated that record. It would have been, come on, Fred. That record would have been in season just anywhere else. So, I mean, definitely.
Right.
And you tell a Detroit fan, it's just like, wow, you guys had Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders, and you guys don't even want to play all the game. Wow. Like, wow.
And actually going into the season, I think I picked Detroit to be in the playoffs. But why wouldn't you after the season they had last year?
Definitely. You thought that, you know, that they wouldn't take a step back. I mean, granted, yes, they lost to, you know, they lost, you know, a couple pieces off that line, but you didn't think that they were going to take a step back where, first of all, there was one point in the season, they were one of the worst teams. They were one of the worst teams in football. So, so definitely, you looked at that, you know, yeah, for example, I'm looking at it now. You had the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Packers, Panthers, Arizona, and the Lions. So, yeah.
Yeah, this was a bad year.
No, definitely, speaking of the playoffs, we have...
Which game are you definitely looking at?
Of course the AFC games. That's what definitely I'm, you know, that Saturday night, you got the Steelers going against the, you know, Cincinnati Bengals. Can Marvin Lewis finally get over that hump as far as getting that playoff win, or is he going to just, like, throw up another blunder again?
And honestly, you asked me,
I may be the – I got Cincinnati winning that game. I think Cincinnati's going to pull one out. I think they're going to – I think that the last time they played them, the Bengals were going – they were going to beat them. Dalton got hurt. They got hit with that shock of Dalton being out. And they couldn't rebound from that. But I think now even if Dalton doesn't play, they have some kind of swagger with McCarron, and it's going to be what, his third, fourth game playing. So I think that you know, Cincinnati is going to finally pull one out. Then, I mean, what about you, Fred? What's your game of the week like?
I want to see the Cincinnati and Pittsburgh game, but I still don't mind that Minnesota and Seattle game. I think that's going to be more interesting than what people think, because you got the cold. It's going to be freezing cold. The ball is going to be like a brick. So it's going to come down to whoever's going to run that ball, and that favors Minnesota.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, yes, because you have Marshawn Lynch coming back, but it's what shape is he in?
Right.
Also, how effective can he be?
And this is the first game. I would have worked him back in if I was Seattle. I mean, but, you know, I'm sitting in my couch, you know, eating Oreo cookies, drinking milk, so they probably know a little bit more than me, but football speed is always different.
Mm-hmm.
I would have probably tried to do something different instead of just, you know, thrusting them in into the playoffs, into cold weather. Sorry, and you know us brothers don't like cold weather. I don't care where you are. So you know, it wasn't like you playing in a dome. So it's just, I still think it favors Minnesota.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm calling right here. So you got the Vikings winning this game?
No, I said it favors Minnesota.
But, okay. So do you have the Vikings winning that game?
It just all depends on what mindset Teddy Bridgewater has, because he can't do it. I think he's a good quarterback. And
I caught an upset.
I caught an upset. That'd be about the only upset, because if Seattle beats them, I would like to see Seattle beat them, because I would like to see Arizona, Seattle, and Panthers bang that out so they can prove who's the best.
Yeah, no, definitely. You definitely would want. I'm going out here. I think Seattle's going to win this game. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be one of those 13-10, 17-14 type of games. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be who wants to tackle Marshawn Lynch in that cold weather? Who wants to tackle AJ Peterson in that cold weather? It's going to be like, oh, man, he's running in again? Okay, let's go. And I just think that it's going to be one of those, you know, and I think that both of them have stout defenses that are built for that. So I think they're going to squeak by. I think they can squeak by that. And they're going to go on and, you know, play Carolina. I said earlier, I don't know. I think the most least interesting game I guess we can also say is the first one, and that's going to be KC and the Texans. I don't think much people are interested in that game. Who's quarterback for the Texans? Brian Hoyer or Whedon?
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, we look at that and say, whatever. But I got Washington beating Green Bay. I think they're going to play the hard streak as far as it with Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins, Mr. You like that? He's going to win. He's going to win. No, he's going to beat Aaron Rodgers.
I would say Green Bay. I think Washington is, I mean, that. Pending not making mistakes, that's Green Bay's game. I mean, they don't cause too many turnovers. They're in their reflection of a bad, bad, bad NFC East.
Yeah, no, I mean, granted, yeah, first, I understand what you're saying, first, because, I mean, you look at it, I don't think that they beat it's some crazy stat, first. They haven't beat they haven't beat a winning team. I mean, a team with a winning record all year.
Let me tell you one thing, one stat. can't remember his name. That backup quarterback for the Dallas threw almost 500 yards on that defense. without Dez Bryant, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a field day.
No, I totally understand that, and I see. I mean, first, I definitely. I mean, I see where you're going with that, And maybe that is the case.
And this is the type of game that Green Bay needs Aaron Rodgers' team. Not that type of a defense. Let me get my mojo kind of going back. I think he'll have a good game.
You know, and granted, yes, we're definitely going to see that. We all going to recap you guys. You know, we'll see y'all, you know, definitely talk about these games. You know, because you already know Sark basketball and all those sports. We'll get y'all some love, but this is the playoffs, and this is when the intensity comes up.
You don't even got to sign this.
10 times
deal with
1,000
it.
Is because it's one game, baby. It's one game.
Right.
It's one to go home. It's not a 7-game series, a 5-game series. It's one to go home. So this is a player that's going to lay it all out on the line, and we'll definitely, you know, Sunday, we're going to recap. You know, anything that happens in sports, we're definitely going to recap these games. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all again on Sunday.
We out.
Yeah.